thank you all for coming tonight. I think there's more than enough truth in those two hymns for every single person here to be saved and to know a home in heaven, know their sins forgiven. So, but just in case there's somebody still not saved, I'm just going to take a few minutes to do some reading, do some thinking from the Bible. And before I do that, we'll just ask for God and help, for help. Father in heaven, thank you for this time to tell the truth about you and about your Son. Thank you for creating each and every one of us, and not only creating us, but creating a way for us to be right with you through your Son. So we're just thankful for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight I got 5 points on my mind, and you'll notice they all start with P, but that doesn't really matter. But the first one, they're all going to be about Jesus Christ, of course. And the first one is prediction or prophesy. I figure before I do a little thinking and reading about Jesus, I better go back before he even came into the world, because I think it's important that it was prophesied and predicted that he was going to come into the world. So we'll just flip to 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. And actually, there's a lot of prophesy and prediction and kind of foretelling that Jesus was going to come into the world in the Old Testament. It's all through the Old Testament, which was mostly or all before Jesus came into the world, which is pretty interesting. So it was kind of hard. I'm just going to do one verse for each point. So it was hard to pick just one that was showing his prediction of his coming. But I picked one here, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. So this is, God was actually speaking to David, I believe, at this time in the Old Testament, telling him what was going to happen. "When your time comes and you rest with your ancestors," the Lord talking to David, "I will raise up after you your descendant, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son." So he was telling David, there's going to be one coming in your lineage, and he's going to be quite something. And I don't know if David really understood what was going to happen in his descendants, but he knew something amazing was going to happen. The Lord was going to do something through his lineage. He was going to raise somebody up after David. And you can see, if you read down a bit more, David is just very thankful. Even though he doesn't fully understand, he's just amazed that the Lord would tell him that. So prediction, before he ever came, many, many predictions about the Lord Jesus before he came. And how would people know that? Well, if you read through the Old Testament, you'll know prophets knew that because God had actually told them and shown them, which is amazing. There's no way they would have known that. So the Lord told them, and they wrote it down, told people, and said, there's going to be one coming. There's going to be a Messiah. There's going to be a Christ coming. And so people were actually looking for him and expecting a Christ coming. So that's number one, at least. Number two about Jesus is perfection. So prediction, and then he does show up like he was foretold or predicted. He shows up exactly filling in all the prophecies. I'm not going to read every prophecy, but there's many, many prophecies. It was prophesied he was going to be born in Bethlehem of a virgin, many different things from David's descendants, a lot of different things. And it specifically came to pass that it happened. Jesus was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, as expected, as waited for. So it's amazing. This is clearly something God has planned out and is showing people. So perfection. For perfection, we'll flip over to Luke 23, please. And if you read through the Bible, especially the New Testament, you'll see Jesus was a perfect man. He didn't do anything wrong, even though people desperately tried to twist things on him and make it seem like he was doing something wrong. He never did anything wrong. Luke 23, Start at verse 1. Then their whole assembly rose up and brought him before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation, opposing payment of taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." So now he's here. Obviously, this is a fast-forward version, but he came after he was prophesied to come, and now they're trying to say he's causing a big stir, he's causing problems, and we'll keep reading. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "You say so." Pilate then told the chief priests and the crowds, which were trying desperately to accuse him so they could kill him, they could torture him, really. And Pilate answered and said, I find no grounds for charging this man whatsoever. Even with all the lies and everything, he couldn't legally do anything to him because he had done nothing wrong. And there's a lot of places in the Bible that show that he did nothing wrong. And if you even go down a little bit further, Pilate didn't know what to do with him because they still wanted to crucify Jesus. So he found out that Jesus was actually under Herod's jurisdiction, so he sent him off to Herod and said, "Do with him what you think." And Herod talked to him for a while and couldn't find anything wrong with him, so he sent him back to Pilate. If you look down to 15, Pilate says, "Neither has Herod found anything wrong with him, because he sent him back to us. Clearly, this man, clearly Jesus, has done nothing to deserve death." So this is just one of many verses showing Jesus is absolutely perfect, even though people are trying to twist things on him. So that's prediction, perfection. Number 3, purpose of Jesus Christ. We'll flip over to 1 Timothy 1:15, please. And it's actually right here, I think. Pretty sure I just noticed that on the way in. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is the purpose of Jesus Christ coming. He was predicted to come. He showed up. He was perfect. What's this all about? Why did he do it? Well, there's a lot of different reasons, I guess you could say, to that. But here's one verse showing it quite clearly. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So that was the purpose, if you want to boil it down. He came into the world to save sinners. And number 4, we'll go down to John chapter 10, verse 18. Number 4 is going to be proof of Jesus Christ. Maybe you think, oh, here we go, a Christian's going to prove Jesus Christ in front of some people. Well, I'm not going to prove anything. I'm just going to point to the proof that already exists. John 10, verse 18. The proof that already exists. I'm going to read 2 verses for point number 4, which is proof. John 10, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking about his life. "No one takes it from me." No one takes Jesus' life from him. "But I lay it down on my own. I have the right or power to lay it down, lay his life down, and the right or power to pick it up again." That's what he said before he ever was crucified or went to the cross. He said, "I have the power to lay down my life and take it up again." Then we'll go over to, I think it was Matthew 28. I forgot to write it down. But Matthew 28. To me, there's a lot of proof, actually, I think, that Jesus was who he said he was. But to me, this is really seals the deal, in my mind. Even though he did a lot of miracles and a lot of stuff, to me, the resurrection just proves it. So this is resurrection morning. "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb of Jesus where he was placed after he was crucified and killed. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. This is amazing. He rolled back the stone, and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, for he has risen, just as he said." So he really proclaimed power during his life in many ways, saying that he had the power to die on purpose and come back to life. And then not only did he proclaim it, but he proved his power by laying down his life, as he said, and took it back up, which is just amazing. And I actually think this is a solid, undeniable fact of history, which is amazing. Like, died, came back to life, as he said. And the whole reason, back to number three, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's the way to become righteous before God through faith in him. Put your faith in him, only trust him, and you're fully blessed. You're made right in the sight of God. It's really, it's amazing. And number five is the promise of Jesus Christ. We'll go to John 3:16 for the promise of Jesus Christ. Maybe you never thought of John 3:16 as a promise before, I don't know, but if you read it with a fresh set of eyes, it is a promise. "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes," that's the promise, "everyone who believes in him," him being Jesus, "will not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life." That's an amazing promise of Jesus Christ. And actually, he has a lot of promises if you read the Bible. Promise of forgiveness, promise of, if you believe in him, you will not perish, you will have eternal life. And if you think about that promise, it's actually divides everybody into two groups. So it's an amazing promise, tremendous promise, but it's also a terrifying promise if you think about it, because everyone who believes in him will not perish, but everyone who does not believe will perish. So it's amazing, but it's serious. Like, that's a big deal. Eternal life. And the last thing, I know I said I had five, but I actually have six. The last one's not really about Jesus. It's more about you. It's perspective. What is your perspective of Jesus Christ in light of all, in light of the Bible, really, but in light of these 5 points, in light of the prediction, perfection, purpose, his death, proof, his resurrection, promise, whoever believes has salvation for free. And then perspective. Actually, I think I had a verse for perspective. Yeah, Matthew 16:15, please, for a final verse. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, for perspective. Jesus is talking to one of his disciples, I think, actually. Yeah, Simon Peter. And he asks him, "Who do you say that I am?" There's all these rumors going around about people said, a lot of people said actually he has a demon because he's doing all these crazy claims and he's doing crazy things. But Jesus is saying, "Who do you say that I am?" to Simon Peter. And if you read the next verse, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So that's an amazing, the only true perspective to have of Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so that's my 5 points. But really, I just want to convey that Jesus is who he said he was, or is who he says he is, because proved it in many ways, but mostly he laid down his life, took it up again, and he's now offering grace, offering forgiveness to anyone who believes.